Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon The Series podcast. For each week, we discuss 2 episodes from the Pokemon anime, just whatever else happens to pop into our minds. Just a quick reminder, we are an E4 explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, Alex.
Woo! That's the enthusiasm I like to see before the podcast. Let's go! I'm so excited.
And speaking of excitement, Austin, I see you over there. How you doing?
I'm so excited. And I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control and I think I like it. Oh, ooh.
That was Saved by the Bell, right?
Well, it was the Pointer Sisters by way of Saved by the Bell.
Okay, yes. That's the first time I heard that song was Saved by the Bell.
I think that's the first time our generation heard that song.
That was the I'm addicted to... They had she got famous, but she got addicted to pills.
Caffeine pills,
but because they kept it PG. That was Jesse, right?
Jesse is a friend.
That's another classic. So Jesse got addicted to caffeine pills and Saved by the Bell, and that led to her becoming a stripper?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It was supposed to be a stand-in for what? Like cocaine?
I think it was a stand-in for speed or something.
Oh, okay.
It would have been Adderall if done today.
Oh, yeah. I could see it being marijuana, too.
I don't think Jacob knows what marijuana does.
Oh, my God. The opposite thing.
Every drug of choice in my cartoon shows was marijuana, or a marijuana-like alternative.
I remember the commercials with the talking dog.
The one where the guy's, deflated on the couch. Do you remember that
yeah.
one? That one scared me. Let's get on to our weeks here. Speaking of, I don't know, anything. Alex,
drugs.
How was your week? Yeah, speaking of drugs,
actually,
Alex, how was your week?
Actually, speaking of drugs, that's a really great transition. You didn't even know. Yesterday, Austin and I went to go see Cocaine Bear.
Alex treated me for my birthday to go see Cocaine Bear.
Okay, we can't say birthday. Austin forbids birthday. So it was Happy Saturday, Austin. Here's a movie.
Happy birthday, Austin.
What's there to say about Cocaine Bear? I think it speaks for itself.
There's really not much to say.
It was pretty gory, I will say that, much more than I was anticipating, which is probably my mistake because it's a bear that's cracked out of its head. And then we continued the trend of cocaine-fueled media by watching something else that was really amazing that I had been avoiding up until this very moment.
Until I forced you to watch it.
Until Austin forced me to watch it. Any guesses? Any guesses?
The Star Wars Holiday Edition.
How did you know?
There you go.
Was that a guess or did Austin tell you?
You said it right before the podcast.
Oh, I did?
Yes, you did.
I did. Oh, that's right.
You did. Jacob, have you seen it?
Huh?
Have you seen it before?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. This is the fake Han Solo guys in it, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, I must be thinking of the wrong thing. But is this when C-3PO sings? R2-D2 talks?
No.
I don't know, I'm on the wrong thing. I'm on the wrong thing here.
Okay.
What is it, Alex? How was it?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I only made it through half because it was almost midnight and I was I gotta go home. So we got halfway through. Where do you even begin with the Star Wars Holiday Special?
I've seen it several times, and it always surprises me.
There was...
Chewbacca's father masturbating in the living room.
There was that. Oh my God.
What does that look like?
Unpleasant.
Does he make the noise?
Yes.
the whole time?
Yes.
All right, that's what I thought.
He gets, like, there's this traitor guy who I guess is a family friend, and he brings them presents for Life Day, because that's, like, their equivalent of the Christmas holiday. One of those presents is, like, a giant VR thing. It almost looks like those big, like, hairdresser things where they put that thing over your head, but it's, like, a VR set, and it's got, like, a hologram of Diane Carroll.
Oh.
And then he's in the living room just out in the middle of the house with the small kid running around having his alone time.
Taking care of business.
The small kid is also a Wookiee, by the
yes.
way.
Oh.
Chewbacca's son, Lumpy.
Should we do this for April Fools?
The Star Wars holiday special?
Should we stop summarizing because this is going to be our April Fools sure. Day episode? Sure.
That's great.
We'll leave the rest to your imagination.
Jacob wants to do Yu-Gi-Oh! Again.
I'm down for whatever, because I've never seen this.
You can't tell the people what our April Fool's episode's going to be, Austin.
Okay, it'll be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise. It could be anything. How long is it?
It's like 2 hours.
Holy cow, really?
Yes.
It's the longest 2 hours of your life.
Is this like a TV special thing they did?
Aired once ever.
And then Lucas was like, I'm done with it. We're out of here.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
He didn't have much involvement in it and actually hated it, I guess, right? It was an experience. I am down for watching the second half. I feel like I need to know how it ends. It's like a train wreck where you can't, like, look away.
That's the part where Carrie Fisher, coked out of her mind, sings a song.
Yeah, we didn't get to that. And we didn't get to, like, the animated part.
You didn't get to Bea Arthur on Tatooine.
Oh, yeah. Bea Arthur's there, too.
Is this, like, a continuous story or is it, like, an anthology of, like, you're here, then you're...
Well, it's framed as the Wookiees are watching television.
Oh, okay.
All right, Jacob, how was your week?
Well, I'm going to ask this quick question. What was better, Cocaine Bear or the holiday special?
Like, objectively, Cocaine Bear was better.
Cocaine Bear?
Objectively, sure, but in a general sense, I don't know.
The Star Wars holiday special is a landmark of our culture.
Okay, for my week, fun fact to start off my week, I read that bears actually can't digest cocaine, so they don't get the high effect from cocaine.
Oh.
They have enzymes in their body that break it down to where it doesn't give you the stimulant effect of cocaine.
So the bear just died. It didn't have a high of any sort.
I don't know if it dies or if it just kind of ignores it.
Well, in real life, it died.
Can you cite your source, Jacob?
A YouTube comment.
A YouTube comment?
I'm going to type in bears and cocaine on Google right now.
I actually read an article about this as well, that the person, biologist, zoologist, whoever it was, basically said, we don't know if bears can get high on cocaine because we've never tried.
That poor bear. I really feel terrible for the real bear.
I didn't realize this was based on a true story.
I mean, I've known a few bears to use drugs, but not the kind of bear you're thinking of.
Ayo.
I had no idea that was an actual thing. I thought it was like just like that Winnie the Pooh scary movie. They just made a crazy cocaine bear.
Which is back in theaters.
The Winnie the Pooh movie?
Yeah.
We have to see that.
Yeah. What's it called?
Blood and Honey.
Blood and Honey.
Anything else, Jacob?
Nah. I got a ramp for my dog.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I got a ramp off my deck.
That was a needed ramp.
Yeah, ramps are way better than stairs. I'm taking the ramp now when I go out the back door. I'm like, I'm not doing the stairs. I'm just going to levy down this ramp. And what else did I do? Nothing much. That's about it. But anyway, Austin, what'd you do this week? Tell me you did something.
I did 35 pounds of cocaine.
35 pounds of cocaine. Oh, wow. You're still here, too?
I am. From beyond the grave.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to wait to talk about this later, but something kind of bad happened around my house yesterday.
Uh-oh. Are you all right?
Yeah. We couldn't, like, go outside or anything like that. I had to go to my basement, pull something out. I had to get out my Gligar counter and make sure everything was okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Christ, that was an... All right. Okay. Okay.
A round of applause to you, Jacob, for somehow pulling that off. Was the execution? I don't know. I'd give you a 7 out of 10, but good job.
The randomizer has spoken for this week, and Austin, you have the 30-second summary challenge. Alex, you got the first episode, which is...
Oh no, the Hobbit episode!
and that is called Foul Weather Friends. And then I have The Superhero Secret, which Alex is very upset about this. She did not like this episode.
What cosmic entity did I wrong in order to be charged with leading this episode?
Oh, it's fine. Come on. It's fun.
I'm so excited.
All right, Austin, are you ready for your summary challenge?
All right, I'm ready.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so the twerps meet Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton, and they are tornado researchers who are trying to implement their new tornado drones, and their drones are Hoppip, and the Hoppip are known as Dorothy. So they basically go around Tornado Valley, and they try to find all these tornadoes, and they release the Hoppip to do some scientific research. At one point, there's a cow. There's like a drive-in movie theater at one point, if I remember correctly.
Were you summarizing Twister or the episode?
Yeah, Twister. I don't remember it very well, though, so that's the problem.
I remember Helen Hunt being in. I remember there was like, the only scene I remember from that is like, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton are kind of like on the edge of the town that's being obliterated, and these people are in one of those cars, and Helen Hunt goes, "What are they doing?" And then they go in there and they just get killed.
Okay, I don't remember this at all.
That's the only part I remember that movie.
How did I know it was going to turn into a Twister? Like, that was going to be referenced.
Because when have we ever seen a tornado in the Pokemon world?
Never.
Before or after this?
That's a good point.
The ones over the water, we've seen those. Water spouts.
Oh, yeah, the water spout, yeah.
Aren't there water spouts in Twister? I'm pretty sure.
They're the day after tomorrow. I've seen a water spout in real life.
Have That's you cool. really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what an interesting episode this was. I'll try my best.
Which do we prefer, the Ladybug episode or the Hoppip episode?
They each had their own merits.
Oh, come on. Ladybug for
but
sure.
But one had Mr. Douglas.
Yeah, Mr.
Okay,
Douglas.
Okay, obviously, yeah, Mr. Douglas then. I just have to ask, what is the deal with, like, the obsession with grass-type Pokemon in these past few episodes? There's been a heck of a lot of grass-type Pokemon in, around our general vicinity, the heroes. What is going on with that?
Big Farm got involved with Pokemon.
We're fresh off the heels of the Sunflora episode. I don't know.
Oh, okay. And then Chikorita had a spotlight episode.
In the greenhouse. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so we continue our trend with the grass-type Pokemon focus, in which Ash and friends are strolling down a grassy path, and they encounter a very cute Digimon-looking thing, which is called Hoppip.
I love Hoppip.
I love it, too. I'm not trying to throw shade on Hoppip, but it really looks like a Digimon.
Yeah, like a Coromon type
yes,
thing.
Yes, it does. Got the Botamon eyes going on. This Hoppip is super cute, but it's so lightweight that it gets blown away at the slightest breeze, and so the twerps have to chase it. And they're like, come back, Hoppip. Oh my gosh, it's so cute. Austin's showing us the TCG card with the Hoppip art.
Can we play that game where we get the Pokemon's weight? I want to know how much a Hoppip weighs.
Guess how much it weighs.
It's got to be like ounces.
Yeah.
You'd be wrong.
What?
1 pound.
It weighs one whole pound?
You know ways it weighs a pound.
That's garbage.
A light breeze carries it away.
Like a sneeze could move this thing.
You know what? It's super cute if you play Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. If there's like rain or some kind of windy weather happening, the Hoppips will get blown away.
Is that real?
Yeah, and in the game, yeah. It's a nice little detail, I thought.
That is cool.
Jumpluff weighs 6.6 pounds.
That's bullshit. There's no way.
Does that one fly too?
Yeah, it's like a cotton weed thing.
Jumpluff is like 97% cotton ball. Like, there's no way it weighs 6 pounds.
Do you think these things have, like, you know, a pufferfish or something like that has a swim bladder? Do you think they have some kind of, like, bladder that swells up when wind touches them? That's how they're able to fly? Because 1 pound's not going anywhere.
No, it's not. I don't know. These things are, they defy nature.
They're super cute, though. I don't know. Hoppip is really cute. Jumpluff, super cute also.
Skibloom's not.
Yeah, we can skip right over Skibloom, because...
Hey. Ayo.
It's kind of an unfortunate middle stage.
I'll tell you what, though. I like Hoppip more than Oddish.
Really? Oh, I don't know about that.
I like the Oddish painted pink.
All right. Well, we'll get there. Let's keep on keeping on with this Hoppip episode.
Let's hop on over.
Let's hop on over. That's right. They follow the Hoppips where they come across this girl who's catching them in a giant butterfly net. And she's like, oh no, Hoppips, you thought you could get away, but haha, not this time. So she introduces herself as Mariah, and they go back to her house where she has a giant netted enclosure in her front yard where she keeps her hoppips so they don't fly away. And she also has a bunch of radar equipment inside her house because she's a weather forecaster.
She's just the weather she just takes the weather. She doesn't let anybody know what the weather is, though.
No, she's a aspiring, meteorologist. I think she's just a hobbyist. She doesn't actually work for anyone, but it's her hope that she can use her hoppips and train them to predict the wind patterns and the strength of upcoming storms and, I guess, make her mark in the meteorological community. But right now, she's just a loner who lives on the plains.
She's Mariah the Pariah.
Oh my gosh!
Well, don't forget her genius invention of the hoppip wind scale.
Oh yeah, one hoppip equals, what did she say?
It's one knot.
A balmy breeze of wind or something.
Yeah.
This girl is kind of an interesting one. Also interesting is this kind of odd looking hoppip that can't seem to fly away like the others do. So upon closer inspection, when they walk over to it, they discover it's actually an oddish that has rolled around in some pink mud because it just wants to be like all the other hoppips.
Some pink mud.
Oddish is a tragic creature. Just everything about it. Its voice. Its little beady eyes and little feet.
What's wrong with it, Austin?
It's always crying or in distress in some way.
Is it?
I always feel incredibly bad for it.
When was the last time we had a distressed oddish?
The Bulbasaur episode where Misty tried to like destroy it in order to capture it.
Oh, okay.
Well, of course it's under distress then, though. If it's getting vine whipped in the face.
And now it's having distress in this episode because it has body dysmorphia.
Poor thing.
I know.
Was it just me or when Hoppip tried to fly off that rock and then it jumped and it hit itself in the face? It had blue around its eye and I thought it gave itself a black eye, but it was actually its mud coming off. My original thought was this oddish was a different color, it was a shiny or something. But then I realized, oh wait, it's just trying to be like the Hoppips and covered itself in mud.
Oh my gosh, Alex, you just came up with the best plot line for this. If it was a shiny and it was discolored and it thought it belonged to the hoppip because it was pink.
Oh.
That's a way cooler. It got confused. That's way cooler.
I will bet you guys $100 shiny oddish is a green color.
I bet you it is. I was going to say, what color is a shiny oddish?
Oh, look at that. It's lime green.
Whoa.
Are you serious? Okay.
Of course it is.
Glad I didn't bet money on that because Well, it could have been one of those Orange Islands Butterfree's. The anime does the different colors without it being a shiny necessarily, but...
It could have been an oddish from Pinkin Island.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ain't those berries.
Could have been. However, it's not so complicated as that. It's just an oddish with an identity crisis and very sad. It can't fly to be with all the other hoppips. Regardless of that... Scene transition over to Team Rocket, where Meowth is currently scheming a plan to steal all the hoppips so that they can start a hoppip delivery service.
It reminded me of the Amazon drones. Remember when Amazon had those drones they pitched that would it would just drop it off at your front door? This is the start of it.
James isn't really on board with this idea. He points out all the ways that it could go wrong because the wind is just too unreliable. And what if the hoppips get blown off course 10 miles in the opposite direction? Then what? Giovanni would be so upset. They decide to go through with this plan anyway and run up on the twerps and say, hey, we're here to steal all the hoppips. Then they pull out a giant fan from somewhere. They try to blow all the hoppips away, but Pikachu easily blasts them off again. Well, before Team Rocket can show back up, suddenly a storm rolls in, and all the hoppips bunch up and put their leaves together in such a specific way, which is apparently a telltale sign that there's an extremely powerful storm on the way.
And they're not kidding.
And yeah, they're not kidding. Because Mariah is very scared and she runs into her house with all of her radar equipment and she's like, oh my god, a tornado is headed right this way. And they don't do anything except for hide under a table.
I don't know, that's the thing, I don't know what else to do. But you think if tornadoes come through there that often, she would have some kind of underground thing. Unless this is the first time this has happened.
It was tornadoes.
Sharknado.
Jacob's right. She practically lives in Oklahoma, so I feel like she should have a tornado shelter built.
She's in the Oklahoma region of Johto.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The Great Plains region.
So they have 0.5 seconds to get under the desk and shelter for their lives as this giant tornado that we've never seen before, like Austin said, rolls through and rips her roof straight off of her house.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
This is a high stakes episode.
Did I tell you that story about when I was a little kid and that tornado hit our school?
No.
What? Oh, God.
When I was little, we don't get tornadoes a lot where I'm from, but I guess they do happen occasionally. Maybe that's what happened here. But, you know, like, you're in elementary school, and they have that alarm thing go off, and you got to go in the hall, and you put your head against the wall and then between your legs. You guys remember doing that?
Yeah, right. Tornado drills.
Anyway, we're sitting there. It was, like, timing like crazy, because I remember kids were kind of crying, because they were all upset, you know, something really bad could happen. And then our teacher was like, guys, you don't have to worry. Like, as long as we're standing here, we're okay.
And then she got picked off the ground.
Almost. 5 seconds later, tiles started coming off our, like, roof or something like that. And this teacher just loses it and goes, oh my God, we're going to die, or something like that. So as kids, we were like, that's it. We're done. And so we just started running out the doors and we were gone. It was like...
You ran outside?
Yeah, it was chaos.
How old were you?
We were like second, third grade, somewhere in there, because the teacher lost it.
That's too old. That's too old to be doing that.
The teacher lost it. So we started freaking out, so we were going to run home.
You ran into the tornado? Oh my gosh.
She lost it. We're going to die. So we were just gone. Bye. See ya.
I mean, that was a total panic.
The teacher may have overreacted.
I think so.
We went outside. There wasn't much going on.
That teacher needs like remedial how not to panic classes.
Yeah, she lost it pretty quick.
Keeping all the kids calm is like the best thing you can do. Like, now you've got like 30 screaming children running all around. All right, well, they don't, unlike all the kids at Jacob's class, the twerps are completely unfazed by this tornado.
We needed Ash and twerps there for composure when our thing happened. They stood tall.
The tornado rolls right up, rips the roof clean off. All the Hoppips get sucked into the vortex. Mariah is like, oh no, Hoppips, come back. Misty's like, no, Mariah, don't go. You'll die. And somehow they don't get sucked into the tornado. They somehow stay on the ground. And then that's it. The storm ends as soon as it starts. It's nice and sunny outside, which I think that typically does happen with storms, right? Like, the tornado rolls through, and then all of a sudden it's like sunny and everything again.
Yeah, unless Helen Hunt's there, it's usually like 2 or 3 minutes a tornado lasts. Otherwise, it's like 60 to 80 minutes.
She has that effect on tornadoes.
Yeah, they spin faster when she's there.
So after the dust is cleared and they're standing amidst the wreckage of her house, nobody really seems bothered by this. I feel like if I was her, I'd be like, oh my God, my house is destroyed. This is horrible. My Hoppips are missing. But she's just like, guess we gotta go find them.
That's so true.
They would be dead.
Yeah.
They would be dead.
They would be dead.
The way they, how easily they blow, they would be torn to shreds by all the like flying debris in a tornado. I mean, they would come back. They would look like confetti. Like a pinata confetti that you burst open after the tornado. It would just tear them to shreds.
My favorite part is they could have done this episode with just a strong breeze blew them away. Or Team Rocket's fan. No, a tornado. A tornado that ripped the roof off.
Like, I love, Alex, that's a great point about them. They should be dead. Because they, like, go through and they find them. They're searching for them. And they're finding them under, like, collapsed like shit all over the place. Like, there's a sign that fell, one's trapped underneath that. Like, that would have crushed it, but they're okay. I mean, thank God.
They're all right. One Hoppip is like crushed under a sign, like you said. The other one is like fighting for its life in the rapids. It's like stuck in a branch in the middle of the river.
That's true.
Hoppip are survivors.
They are
durable.
They're adaptable.
These Hoppips have seen some shit. And so, yeah, they find 3 of the 7. Well, 2 of them are in life-threatening situations. The third one is just flying around in the upper atmosphere. And they're like, oh, there goes one. Let's follow it. And turns out that Team Rocket has captured the rest of them. And they have them held hostage in their Meowth balloon.
The writing team stopped coming up with ideas for various perilous situations for Hoppips.
Yeah, they got 2 out of 7.
And Team Rocket got the rest.
That, you're right. I thought they were going to have a whole montage of, like, them finding the Hoppips in, like, these perilous different areas. Of, like, oh, one's hanging off a cliff over here, and, like, one's underneath rubble over there, and, like, just these different things. But nah, you're right. Team Rocket just had the rest. So they catch them, but Oddish won't stand for this. So the twerps start to battle with Team Rocket, but Oddish is like, you motherfuckers are taking too long. I got this. So it takes matters into its own hands that it doesn't
own
have.
Leaves.
Its own leaves. That's right. That's better. Better pun. Thank you, Jacob. But it single-handedly takes down Victory Bell and Arbok all by itself. All by its little self. It was so cute. The twerps and Mariah don't tell it to do anything. It does everything by itself. Finishes them off with a solar beam. Oddish wins a medal for its bravery and valor. And we learn a very valuable lesson on everybody's got different talents. So don't try to be different because you have to be proud of yourself and your own accomplishments. Right?
Yes. They spent 5 minutes moralizing about this. Like, they all had a speech prepared.
Yes, they did.
It's important.
It took forever.
It's important, Austin. It's important to get that message across.
I would have rather they spend time looking for Hoppip in various locations.
Well, listen, this Oddish is in a constant state of fight or flight, okay? So it's good that it finally comes to an end where it understands that this is normal for it.
And God help you if its instinct is fight, because it's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, overall, it's a good message, you know? I think Misty's right. Comparison, thief of joy, all that stuff. So don't be sad about what you don't have. Instead, celebrate what you do have. That's the lesson of the day. At the very, very end of the episode, in a matter of like a couple hours, I guess, they are able to pick Mariah's whole ass roof back up off the ground and patch it back on in the worst construction job I've ever seen in my entire life. I think she's gonna like die. I think her roof is gonna collapse and she's gonna like die.
She's gonna be all right. Alex, we've seen throughout this whole episode, roofs collapsing and landing on you doesn't do any damage.
That's
true. Well, didn't you see that randomly scattered plywood they nailed to the walls? She'll be fine.
Yeah, there's big giant gaping holes still in her roof. There's like 2x4s hanging haphazardly off of the roof. Like,
well, it's easier to tell what the weather is with the holes in the roof, though. She can just look up like, oh, it's raining.
Yeah, exactly. She's on her way to becoming the best meteorologist in all the land. And then they get the fuck out of there because I wouldn't want to stay either.
Over that roof? Yeah.
Not under that roof. Nope. Well, it did remind me of the one episode where they like blasted a hole through the mountainside and Jenny was like, yes, this is structurally sound. Thank you so much.
It's not leaning to me. Looks all good.
No chance of a cave-in. This is 100% perfect and safe for all the townsfolk to pass through this tunnel.
Mm-hmm. If it works, it works. Until it doesn't. That's what we say.
And what's-her-face's, Sonrisa's, like, horrible, like, piping job that she did coming down the
mountainside. That was the worst one. That was, without doubt, the worst one.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of oversight in this town, in this area.
I think we need a superhero to maintain the status quo in Johto.
I think so, too. We'll meet him in just a minute.
All right, so everyone lives through this F5 tornado. Good for them. Yep. All right, MVP, or most valuable player and least valuable player, and the quote. Let's see what happens here. Randomizer, speak to me. There we go. All right, I'm first, followed by Alex and then Austin. I'm going to give my MVP. I'll give it to Ash for staying strong during the tornado, like Alex pointed out. That was a great point. My LVP, the Hoppip that almost drowned.
Oh, no.
that sucked.
Oh, that poor thing.
Like, you know how perfectly it had to land for that branch to grab it in the middle of the river for it to work out like that? Because I guess it's like green wings it had were like broken because of the storm, so it couldn't navigate itself, so it landed perfectly.
Oh no.
If it had been face down in the water, it would have drowned.
Oh, that poor thing. That was a fuck you Hoppip in particular.
And then my quote's gonna be from Meowth, and this isn't exact, but he says something like this when he goes up to the farm and he goes, hello, Hoppip, we're your biggest fan, when he unveils the huge fan. That was my quote.
Good. This is tough. I didn't write anything. I've been bad about that. I haven't actually been writing stuff down. I've been just sort of coming up with it on the fly. MVP, I'll give it to Oddish. Why not? It was so cute. It tried its best. Plus, it single-handedly took down Team Rocket. So, must be pretty good. Must be like a level 100 Oddish. I don't know. LVP, I'll give it to the tornado, I guess, for ripping the roof straight off of that house. Yeah, that was weak. Sorry. Okay, and the quote I will pick is, Okay, after Team Rocket gets caught up in the tornado and they're walking along. Or no, this was before the tornado, sorry. Right before the tornado, and then they get sucked up into it. James says, maybe it's the motto. Maybe if we change that blasting off part, we wouldn't blast off so much.
Worth a try.
Yeah. Yep.
My turn. My MVP is going to be Heracross, because Heracross doesn't do anything, but Ash sends out Heracross, and then he doesn't do anything, which is better than usual when he causes problems.
Bulbasaur wasn't around this time.
Bulbasaur was not in this episode. Chikorita was.
Oh yeah, she was there.
Did we notice Chikorita knocked aside Pikachu when Ash congratulated Pikachu?
Did
so
she?
So Nurse Joy's therapy was worthless.
I didn't realize that. What? Oh, okay.
And that's why Chikorita gets my LVP.
What did Heracross do? What was the context of him calling them out again?
Okay, Misty sent out Staryu to pop the balloon with the Hoppip still in it.
Oh, that's right.
And then Ash sends out Heracross to fight Arbok and Victory Bell. And then Oddish says, stand aside, Staryu and Heracross. I got this.
That's right.
And then they don't do anything.
They were one-upped.
My quote will be, Brock says, you can do it, Oddish. You can just start flapping your leaves to fly. And Misty says, Brock, why don't you stop flapping your gums? So Brock quietly goes, I'll be quiet.
Oh,
what a burn.
Brock really got done dirty these past couple episodes. Like this one and the next one.
This is Brock. This is our Brock. This is thinking with his dick and being totally inappropriate Brock.
Yep.
Over the top, throwing himself at the feet of women who barely respond.
But they actually don't. He never gets a chance to respond because Misty jumps in and pulls him off.
Misty, our valiant hero.
Yep.
We can't forget that.
Protector of, I don't know, pervitude.
Part of the sisterhood.
Oh, I had something I was going to do on my phone, but it didn't work. So we're going to move along here to, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a Superman? No, it's Gligerman, right?
Gligerman!
Oh my gosh, Austin.
Gligerman!
Gligerman. This is what you were talking about. I totally forgot all about Gligerman, you guys.
You did?
I've referenced him multiple times.
I did. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know. I was thinking, like we talked about this last week, I was like, oh yeah, Blaziken Mask. You know, thinking of like Pokemon superheroes. But Austin was like, oh no, not Blaziken Mask. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So this was a pleasant surprise.
I played Gligerman in our tabletop game episodes.
Oh, you did. Right. Yeah. Oh, the Pokemon Junior Adventure game. You were Gligerman. Yep. Oh my gosh. What a fun time that was.
Is there a sequel to this episode later?
I fucking wish.
Okay. I thought there was like two like this because I remember this one, but I thought they come back. They don't. Okay. What
That's
a shame.
Too bad. Yeah. Dang. This would have been a good part two type episode.
Yeah.
They set it up.
They do. That's what I mean. I thought there was a sequel by the end of this. Anyway, let's jump into it. Austin, are you ready?
Do you want the Clone Saga or do you want the Summer's Family Tree?
Summer's Family Tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what those are.
Okay. We'll find out.
Okay. I'm going to find out in 3, 2, 1, go.
So you have Cyclops and you have Jean Grey. Jean Grey does not have a mutant sister, but her sister did turn into a mermaid one time. Cyclops has Havok, who is his brother. Cyclops has Adam X the Extreme, who was made from his mother's DNA, combined with alien DNA. And he has his long-lost brother, Vulcan, who was extracted from his mother's womb and she was killed. Okay, so Jean and Scott have Rachel, who's from the Days of Future Past timeline, come to the present day. They have Cable, who was the son of Madeline Pryor, who is Jean Grey's clone. And he was raised in the Ascani timeline. You have X-Man, also known as Dick Grey, who's from the Age of Apocalypse timeline.
Yep.
Okay, you have Strife, who was cloned from Cable by his sister from another timeline, Rachel, as a backup, because Cable was infected with a techno-organic virus by Apocalypse. You have Ruby Summers, who is the daughter of Scott and Emma in Bishop's timeline. I can keep going.
Oh my gosh.
This is better. Do this.
Okay, you have Hyperstorm, who is the son of Rachel and Franklin Richards of Fantastic Four fame, and he's from an alternative Days of Future Past timeline.
Austin!
Oh my god.
I got more.
Did you write this down? Was this written down?
No, this is top of mind.
Out of the old noodle.
Okay, so Scott and Alex's father is Corsair, who was abducted by aliens.
So what was your summary going to be if you had picked, or if I had picked, or one of us, Clone Wars?
Clone Saga.
Clone Saga.
Did I say Clone Wars?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Clone Saga.
I was thinking Star Wars.
Okay. Clone Saga. Okay, so you got Spider-Man, who's dating Gwen Stacy, and Gwen Stacy's thrown off by a bridge by Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin, and then the Jackal is in love with Gwen Stacy's student, so he clones her, he makes a Gwen clone, he also makes a Peter Parker clone, actually he makes multiple Peter Parker clones. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and his clone do not know which one's the real one, and then one of them seemingly dies in Shea Stadium, so Spider-Man leaves his body at a smokestack, and then assumes that he is not the clone. However, 5 years later, it turns out the clone was alive, so the clone became a drifter known as Ben Reilly, dyed his hair blonde, and there was also an evil clone named Kane. And so then they both return, and Aunt May dies, but it's not actually Aunt May dying, it's actually a genetically engineered actress who was giving a last great performance before she died of terminal cancer. And then... then the Jackal returns and he makes more Spider-Man clones. There's Spider-Side. Mm-hmm. And then turns out, oh my God, Peter Parker is not the real Peter Parker. He's the clone all along. But he's already married Mary Jane and she's pregnant with their daughter. So they move to Portland and Ben Reilly becomes the main Spider-Man.
Oh my.
I got a problem there.
Okay.
Clones can't reproduce.
Well, turns out Peter is the real Peter Parker because Ben Reilly was the clone and the test results were faked.
You are the and then,
I caught it.
And then Norman Osborn returns from the grave and kills Ben and he dissolves into dust.
That's tragic. Oh my gosh. Also, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was thinking Star Wars before you started that. So I was really surprised when you launched into Spider-Man.
Clone Saga. Clone Wars. That's what you got you. The Clone Wars. Yeah.
Should I cut all that out of the pod?
Never. Since it's
completely irrelevant?
Never.
No, that's cool. I wouldn't read it, but I'm glad someone like you knows it, Austin. That way I can get explained. Like, I know this exists, if that makes sense.
Yeah, one moment, please. I got a visual aid.
Is it Spider-Side? Because I know that one. I've heard of that before.
I can't believe you've heard of Spider-Side. That's so obscure.
What's the Spider-Man that, like, he's on a roof and he falls, but then he morphs with the janitor?
What?
What the fuck are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a Spider-Man I know.
He morphs into a janitor?
Yeah.
What is that, Austin?
The Complete Clone Saga collection.
Oh my.
I got more.
Yeah, but what's the series with Morlun?
Spider-Verse?
Yes. There's so many books. This is why people like Jacob and I, or I don't know, maybe I can't really speak for you, Jacob, like...
have friends? No.
No.
Shut the fuck up.
I feel like there's no possible way to get into this kind of media because there's just so much material and it's like, where do you start? I don't know. I feel very intimidated.
That's the reason why they keep rebooting it, right?
Oh my God. Austin has like a stack of like 20 books in his hands.
It's heavy.
Austin's nothing if not dedicated to his passion.
That's good. He reads.
Yeah, he does read.
Yeah, the Spider-Man Clone Saga, the height of literature.
Yeah, but how do you get into it though? Like, where would be, like Alex said, like you just explained 10 years worth of story to us. How do you jump in and actually get involved? They just pick up a random one and be like, I'm going to read this series and then go from there?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it. That's all you got to do.
No, the completionist in me would never allow it.
I would get too far down the rabbit hole. How did this make sense? What does this tail off? What's going to, you know, I don't know. I'd get too involved with it.
Figure it out as you go.
You just got to accept that it's not going to make sense.
When it comes to the Marvel DC stuff, you're never going to know it all.
Okay. So you just kind of got to read it and soak it in.
Like one time I expressed to Austin, this was previous to like the Disney Plus Moon Knight series coming out. But I told Austin, I'm like, I'd really love to read the Moon Knight comics. So he did buy me volume one, but I didn't really read it because then I got overwhelmed by the prospect of like reading it.
That was more of a gag gift than anything.
No, but it was a really good thought. Gift and I appreciate that, and I do eventually want to read it, but I'm very overwhelmed with the prospect of like reading it, and there's so much to it, and I'm like, oh my God. But then the show came out and I was like, oh, maybe this is a little bit more easily digestible media, and so watch that.
Maybe.
What were you showing us just then?
That was Spider-Side.
Oh, the thing Jacob referenced.
Mm-hmm. I think my friend had an action figure of that growing up.
That's so weird.
And that's where he had the one where Spider-Man morphs with the janitor.
I don't know what that
is. It looks like an actual spider, but it's Spider-Man. Ew.
See, Austin's point. You can't know it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a Spider-Man expert.
Could have fooled me.
That sounds like a joke, but it's really not. I'm not.
Compared to Jacob and I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Anything you say, I'd take as the gospel because I wouldn't know any different.
Yeah, I like the absurdity of it.
I googled Spider-Man janitor and all I found was pictures of Stan Lee.
That's great.
But Gligerman's the true hero of the day.
Yes, thank you for transitioning.
We gotta talk about Gligar Mann and his origin story.
Okay, turns out Gligar Mann's a clone. Gligar Mann drank Sunrisa's tainted water, and then one day showed up with a scar, and it grew into a mask.
Oh my.
Gligar Saw.
Gligar Saw. All right. We're jumping to the real thing here. I want to definitely create like a Gligar Mann lore more so than this does. There's got to be more. I want more Gligar Mann.
Well, I feel like Gligar Mann's mostly a Batman thing, and I don't know enough about the Batman mythos.
Actually, I know probably that's one I probably know the most of. And from what I understand is every time Batman is thrown in like a bad situation, like one time he goes to hell to fight Satan, and then one time he's like in space. But every single time that happens, Batman was just Superman in disguise. So that's like, That's always the cop out. So
that worked out.
So how's he able to do all this? Oh, it's Superman the whole time. But we're not talking about Superman. We're talking about a much more powerful entity. And we start off this episode called The Superhero Secret on our way to Azalea Town. We're still not there yet. This is a common trend in Pokemon we always talk about. We never get where we need to be. We start off by seeing like a mysterious Pokemon kind of flying around here.
Yay! Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
And of course, it's Gligar.
The best ever.
I don't know how to describe Gligar. He's like a scorpion.
A winged scorpion.
Yeah. Like if a bat had sex with a scorpion.
But he also has a little bit of a cat-like thing going on too, with the face and the ears, like kind of cat-like, kind of squirrel-like, kind of scorpion bat.
Yeah. So like a bat flew up to a scorpion and deposited, and then like right after a cat ran up to the scorpion and deposited. Ew. And then we got some kind of like, this would work.
What are you, this explanation of this, oh my god.
Do you have a better one?
No, I guess not. All right then.
Just like comic books, there you go. The origin of Gligar.
But it works. It works in the best way. Gligar is super cute.
Yeah, I've got a picture of it right here, and it does have a cat thing going on.
Look at it. Oh my god. Look at it. Tongue. Oh my gosh, super cute. And this little feet. Oh, okay.
All right, I sent you those as some trivia.
What?
Can we see how Gligar's design has totally changed?
Let's see what's different. Okay.
The details, the lines.
He's missing his little wing spikes in the newer design.
Nope, they're still there.
Oh, wait, they're purple. I see it now.
He's missing, like, the hands, too, are different. Like, you see, it's got the claw-looking things. Then it's got cuffs, and then it goes to its arm. And the newer one, which I assume is the bottom one, that doesn't happen. There's no transition there.
Gligar's one of those weird Pokemon who got a redesign, because at first he was purple and he had little white spikes among various other differences, but now he's pink and his little white talons are pink, but in the anime he was always pink.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he was pink in this episode, but you know who was purple? Gligar Mann himself.
Is that a nod to the original Sugimori art here?
I don't know why they did this. I don't know why. There's other Pokemon, like Sneasel, how Sneasel's green instead of black.
Oh, right. Either way, super adorable and totally underrated, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. But let's not go down the rabbit hole there, because Team Rocket's laid out another hole we're going to go down.
Ayo.
A Team Rocket, infamously, they're holes. They dig them, and trips fall in them. That's what happens here. But this time it's a little different, because their intent here is to drown the twerps.
What the fuck was going on with this? This was horrible.
Isn't it bad?
Ugh.
They go, well, I mean, I guess they go full sinister, like, villain here. If it is a superhero episode, we need to take up the stakes a little bit. Lives need to be at stake.
That tornado scrambled their brains.
Was Team Rocket in the tornado?
They were. They got sucked up by the tornado at one point. But this is like a terrible, like one of my worst nightmares. Like, could you imagine being trapped in a hole with like a grate over the opening, and the hole is slowly being filled up with water, and there's nothing you can do, and you know you're gonna drown, and it's like, oh my god.
Team Rocket wasn't even trying to like take Pikachu. They were just trying to murder them.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. I told you, it's a super rare episode. We gotta make it more like a Batman, the animated series.
Oh my god.
That gives me a lot of anxiety too, Alex. When I think about that, like, either drowning like that would suck, or like being buried alive.
You know, this gave me really Heavy Rain vibes. Like, I don't know if either one of you guys ever played that game, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is like Heavy Rain, where they're gonna like die in a grate and drown to death. Oh my gosh.
I have no idea what that is.
It's one of the greatest little video games. It's a computer game.
To give you some context, this is spoilers. I think this is what happens. Alex, correct me if I'm wrong.
I'll try to remember.
You have a kid at the beginning that dies. The family yes. gets, like, divorced because the mom's upset. But they have one kid. The kid yes. gets stolen.
Mm-hmm. I do know this.
You play as the villain through the game, but you don't know it.
There's different endings as well.
Yeah.
Is this the press X for Jason?
Yes. Yeah. Jason.
Yes. Okay.
You can holler it for, like, Jason. An hour. But he puts the kid in, like, a great thing in, like, some kind of, like, water treatment plant. So every time it rains during the game, your kid is losing life.
So he's... the killer.
No, not the killer the is the detective. The detective is the killer, oh. isn't it?
Oh, you play the detective? Okay, sure.
No, you play as the father. Yeah, you play as the father, but there's... I don't remember. There's, like, other things, but the detective ends up being the killer. It's kind of intricate. There's different endings, so sorry to any of our listeners that didn't play that game, because, spoiler...
It's 10 years old.
But yeah, it's kind of a... It's an older game.
So. Jason.
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 It's a good one. I recommend it.
Jason.
But that's the vibe I got from this. When they put that grate over the thing, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly that game.
Yep. Every time Team Rocket pours water on it, the Togepi's dying, which Togepi would die
that
first.
That was scary.
Yeah, Togepi would die first.
Did anyone feel pity for Togepi as it drowned?
How do I answer that without being like a total psychopath? Like, the moral part of me wants to say, yes, I feel empathy. It's a helpless little creature drowning, but also it's Togepi. Why was it the only one that got saved?
Yeah, that's true. That's bad. But the worst thing about this is, Team Rocket was pretty good with this to try to kill Togepi, though, because Togepi does cause a lot of trouble, but it can't use metronome if it's treading to keep itself alive. That was pretty evil on their part.
It has to sink to the bottom and didn't do it.
It has to wave its arms, but it can't because it's too heavy with the water.
Oh, no. No. They found it. They found how to defeat Togepi.
Well, I mean, it is an egg, and right now they could find some use for it. Eggs are like $4 for two. But that doesn't happen because Gligar Man shows up, our famous superhero, and saves the day. He's able to take down Team Rocket. Gligar Man. Initial thoughts of Gligar Man.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I love how he has, like, a muffin top. Like,
I did too. He's clearly, like, the dad bod superhero.
We stan dad bods on this podcast.
This is the pro dad bod podcast.
It reminded me of Into the Spider-Verse when the Peter Parker shows up and he's, like, out of shape and he's, like, super bloated. Yeah, this is like that. Gligar Man's like that.
He's the middle-aged, kind of washed up superhero trope that tries his best, but he somehow still bumbles through and ends up victorious, but
somehow saves the day. Accidents tend to be in his favor to where he saves the day, because that's kind of how he saves our twerps. But anyway, he does have one superhero power. I don't know if you guys missed this, but he does have super hearing, because it gives the twerps a little $1 kazoo whistle that he says, blow anytime, anywhere, and I'll be there to come save you.
I have a theory okay. about the Gligar whistle. What's your theory? I think when you blow into the Gligar whistle, it triggers an alarm at the Gligar cave.
That could probably be a good explanation. I don't know, Jacob. I kind of disagree. I think he's got more than one superpower.
Dad bod superpower.
He rocks the dad bod for sure. And I don't know many people that can pull off purple spandex, but this guy rocks it.
God, and that bulge. Godly.
God, they focused on that bulge too.
No, right? That codpiece was out.
That was a loving pan shot of that codpiece.
That's the initial shot we get, is like he's standing on a tree and the camera's like there, right there at it.
Just so you know, this episode was actually directed by Joel Schumacher.
I could see it. We'll move along here, and speaking of that bulge, with that bulge, he made a daughter named LaToya.
Oh my lord. Oh my
god. All right. Yeah, keep going.
You're on a roll.
And this is talking about earlier, Brock just immediately starts like making moves on her. I don't know exactly what he says, because it's a lot. He just keeps going at it and just doesn't refuse to give up with her. It was a little weird.
He's getting worse and worse and worse. Yeah,
they like ham it up to where like it used to be like he would say one thing, Misty would like knock him or Ash would knock him. But this is like, we got a line, we get another one. Every time someone says something, he peters off of it and uses it to try to hook up with her. But it doesn't work. LaToya is too strong for that. Like her dad, she's super strong. After the failed Brock attempts, we head off into town, and then we come across a KB Toys, which is very surprising. I don't know what's going on there.
I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
And we can assume that the whistle the twerps got was made here, because the symbol, the toy store symbol, matches what's on the whistle. And that obviously the whistle is came from there because we walk inside and it's a Gleigerman store.
I want to go to the Gleigerman store.
I know.
This is amazing.
It's got everything in there for adults, for children. They even have like other various Pokemon dressed as Gleigerman. Like there's a Voltorb with the Gleigerman suit on.
Was there? I
missed that. Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I was there.
Sure. Oh, sure. It was.
Jacob's making shit up.
Wouldn't that be cool, though?
I did see Voltorbs and Electrodes in the background, yes.
Yeah, they're in there, but I don't think they have the costumes on. There's a lot of Gligers in there. There's, like, a Gligerman ball. Did you guys see any other cool little toys in there?
No, I was just more, like, enthralled with the whole idea of, like, this man really has an entire gift shop and store dedicated to himself.
We don't know that yet.
Gligermania.
Anyway, the owner of the toy store comes out. His name is, actually, very surprisingly, Mr. Parker.
Ha.
There's our Spider-Man reference.
There's our Spider-Man reference right there. Aunt May's in the back making the toys.
Aw.
Do they have the same last name?
LaToya Parker, I guess.
No, I'm talking about, like, Aunt May and Uncle Ben. Is it Ben Parker?
Yes, May Parker.
May Parker, okay.
Because she's married to Ben Parker.
We do that forever. Anyway, Mr. Parker, the toy store owner, not Ben, has a fancy little film on hand where he kind of shows the twerps that just happened to walk in. He's got a little feature film of Gligerman, and this film, okay, this film is something else. The Gligerman in this film, this Gligerman is like the 8-pack, biceps bulging, perfect jawline hero that just kind of goes around and saves everybody. This is like what, I don't know, it's like a propaganda video.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be, if I'm guessing, I think it was supposed to be the 30s and 40s Superman short films.
Yeah.
Like the animated ones.
Mm-hmm.
The ones where eventually World War II starts, and so he ends up like, it becomes a propaganda film. Yeah, the Daily Planet was there.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Oh, that's right, the Globe was there, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I didn't know that. That's a good reference there, Austin. But anyway, we go finish the film, and we're kind of like, this Gligerman doesn't look like the Gligerman we saw, but we're going to get over that because they didn't recognize it, but Togepi recognizes the fact that, hey, this Mr. Parker looks like our Gligerman.
Okay, I have a question about the video. Is this a case of, like, an actual thing he filmed several years back when he was in shape, or is this like an actor that he hired as like a promo for his store?
I assumed it was a cartoon.
Really? Like it wasn't
an animated thing.
Him? So it wasn't live action as far as their perspective. Like it wasn't like a live action type film of him. It was like an actual cartoon he got commissioned of him.
Because we later see Mr. Parker as a young Gligerman and he does not have an 8-pack.
Well, he's a little bit more trim and in shape.
Yeah,
but he doesn't look like that.
That.
Okay, so this was... So if we are in the Pokemon world, we are the perspective of the twerps. They are watching a, to them, animated representation of Gligerman.
Yeah.
That's what I assumed, but it could have been like a Kamen Rider type thing, I guess.
So, okay. Just wanted to see y'all's thoughts and what we thought that was.
Yeah, I think it's a cartoon, like Austin said. It's what he wants to be. Like, this is the propaganda. This is Gligerman.
It's his... He's advertising his brand, his Gligerman brand.
He's advertising his brand, and it doesn't look like him, so he's trying... That kind of maybe how he tries to keep his secret. Like, you show that video to people who heard of it, it's like, that doesn't look like this guy at all, Mr. Parker at all.
Literally everybody knows it's him, so...
Yeah, yeah. Including our twerps. Ash takes one of the cosplay masks off to the side there and just throws it on Mr. Parker's head, and he's like, oh, hey, that's him.
Yeah, Togepi gives it away.
If Togepi was in Metropolis, Superman wouldn't have had a chance.
Nope.
Just like Superman, Mr. Parker freaks out when his identity is exposed, and it's kind of like, hey, you guys, keep it quiet. I don't want people to know. But in the meantime... we get Team Rocket getting involved here, and they're getting in the spirit. They're hatching another scheme here. Oh my gosh. You know, Jessie's our leader. She's become the main villain here, and she recruits James and Meowth. They're kind of like her henchmen. And oh lord, here we go.
Jessie is very... I don't know, Austin. Okay, so in addition to Cocaine Bear and the Star Wars Holiday Special, we also watched the 2017 Power Rangers movie yesterday. And I was getting heavy Rita Repulsa vibes from Jessie.
Elizabeth
Banks, Rita Repulsa, and Jessie's like green outfit getup that she had going on. I was like, she's very Rita right now.
I need to Google this.
I think that was Japanese live-action superhero shows is what Jessie was evoking.
Yeah.
She's like the vampy.
But that's what Power Rangers was based off Super Sentai. Isn't that kind of what that was?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know Elizabeth Banks did that. That's a pretty cool picture.
No one did. It bombed.
Oh, well, never mind then.
Her shoulder pads, Jessie's shoulder pads of her outfit were like out of this world.
Yeah, she's got those horn things too on top of her head.
Does she kind of remind you of like a Sailor Moon villain?
Absolutely.
Like a barrel or something?
Yeah, and it's the same animation style too.
I mean, Sailor Moon's the same genre.
What is this second picture?
I don't know. I just Googled female tokusatsu villains, and now they all have the same aesthetic.
Okay, I can definitely see where that design choice would have come from.
Oh, I like that last one.
Yeah, okay. There's obviously a common theme here.
But anyway, we'll flashback. Back to Pokemon. This is where kind of we get the full breakdown. Team Rocket's starting to hatch their plan. Back at the toy store, the toy reveals that Gligerman is only doing this to boost toy store sales. His intent is not to save the weak or pity the vulnerable. It is just to make money.
Oh, I don't know, Jacob. I'm gonna stop you. I'm gonna argue against that point because I think it started out as that, but then he became really committed to doing the right thing and being like a superhero for the town. So yes, it started out as a marketing campaign ploy, but it became a true wanting to do the right thing and being Gligerman.
But that would happen a long time ago. Because now our Mr. Parker, a.k.a. Gligerman, is looking for a protege slash replacement. And since the toy is a girl, she can't do it, obviously. So we turn to Ash and see if he's up for it. We go to the Gliger Cave, too, which is something else.
So this guy, just to clarify, he has a whole Gliger mansion that sits above the town and looks out over the town.
Bruce Wayne style.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne, a la Bruce Wayne. And he also has a Gliger cave. I don't know. This guy obviously has a monopoly on toy sales in this entire region because he is rich as heck.
Something's going on because this does not look that like well off of a town. You know, let's just be real here. Like there's not really like super big buildings or anything like that, but somehow he's raking in the dough. I guess the Gligerman thing is like a international
Gligermania.
Yeah.
I told you.
Did they show it anywhere else? Do we get any reference at all to Gligerman outside this place?
Nope.
All right, then.
Too bad.
How about Ash in that Gligerman costume? And then something else?
When was he in a Gligerman costume?
He has a fantasy thing that shows him being in and he's considering the job.
When he does the Gliger pose, that's right.
Yeah.
Is this where we note Ash loves Gliger?
He does.
When does he say that?
He talks about how amazing Gliger is maybe 5 times at least.
Oh, yeah.
He's obsessed with Gliger.
Well, Ash, I don't know, but we might have some interesting news for you in a future episode.
Maybe.
Yay, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
Not in the near future.
No.
Right. We'll be waiting for a second. But this plants the seed in his mind.
Mm-hmm. Let it sprout. But this current Ash is currently, I guess he's not super, super obsessed because he declines the superhero job and to work with Gliger. I don't know. I wouldn't take that job. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I would. The money looks really good. You'd have to work out a deal with Mr. Parker about how much money I'm going to get being Gliger Man.
Well, you don't have the dream of being a Pokemon Master, so.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have time for that. I don't even know what that is. We still don't even know what entails being a master.
I have some spoilers. Okay.
Oh, no. Don't say anything.
Not yet.
Okay.
Is this for Ultimate Journeys?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Shh.
But you know it's not going shh. It's the alarm at the toy store.
Oh, no.
It's going off.
There's trouble afoot.
There's trouble afoot. I don't know. The Gliger symbol shines in the sky. Gligerman's got to jump in action. Somebody blows a whistle. He's there. I don't know. Anyway, they leap in action. And the store is being ransacked by people in Metapod suits.
Oh my god.
Can we talk about how Team Rocket's much less threatening during this part than they were during the drowning sequence?
They realized they took it just a little too far.
Yeah.
So they have through. To tone it down. Yeah.
Now they have to be like children appropriate villains.
So they terrorize employees by putting them in giant Metapod costumes.
This is funny.
This is great.
It's so stupid. Like, logistically, this is the worst thing to be wearing. Like, it's huge. You can't move your arms in it. It takes up more space than anything. You're grabbing one item at a time.
Can I ask, like, what their thought process was? They're like, okay, how can we cause trouble? How can we terrorize these poor underpaid employees at this store?
I'll tell you exactly what their thought process is. Their thought process is, Gligar Band's a superhero. We are evil. We have to be super villains.
Right.
And so let's put on a show.
Let's put everyone in Metapod costumes.
They could have chosen a better costume than that, though.
Come on. There's nothing better than a Metapod costume. Remember our Metapod episode where we had to discuss the physicality of Metapod? What is a Metapod?
That bothers me to this day. Okay.
Boggles the mind.
Well, like I said, these Metapod suits, they're not very, they're not very good. And they kind of get thrown to the side pretty quick. But then, I don't know what Pokemon it is, but a giant bug robot comes out.
Spinarak,
that's right. I forgot the name of it. That comes out and it starts causing some trouble because it's a giant robot in a little small toy store. So, of course, it's going to be wrecking stuff. And Jessie's cheering it on, think her plan's working. But all of a sudden, a new challenger appears. Gilgirl.
Gligirl.
Or Gligirl. Sorry.
What'd you call her?
I think I called her Gilgirl.
Gilgirl. Gilmore Girls?
Nope. The problem is it.
Oh, if you're out on the road.
Being attacked and you're lonely. All you have to do, is blow my whistle.
Oh my God.
And he'll be there on the next train.
He'll be on the next train. No, the next wings. Oh, man.
Gligirl.
Gligirl's great. So that proves that in Toy Story they sell them in male and female cosplay.
She had this costume ready to go. Yeah. She was ready for it. She was waiting for this day.
Yes. Did Mr. Parker ever ask her before this?
Yeah, I think so. Didn't they say that? Like, or something to the effect of like, oh, Dad, this is so dumb. Like, you should just stop being Gligar Man. And she was like resisting it to the end. But then she was true to herself and gave in to her desire to be Gligirl.
Okay, so Gligirl was skeptical about it, but now she's doing it. All right.
Yeah.
Gligirl jumps in here and does what Gligirl does. She saves the day. She takes down the bug, frees her dad from the bug's claws or whatever, and they're able to defeat the robot and Team Rocket and their crazy Power Ranger costumes.
Hooray!
Hooray. And then some superhero music starts playing. Gligar Man.
You guys ever watched Gargoyles as kids?
I was obsessed with that show.
Oh, Austin, I missed that one. How could you not?
I know.
That seems like it would be right up your alley, too. I don't know why.
It would be, but I just never saw it.
Who was the main gargoyle? His voice. He had a famous voice
actor.
Oh,
I could see his face. Oh, no.
Oh, it's Keith David.
Keith
David is the main voice of that one. That's awesome.
Okay, where can I watch this? Like,
is it on Disney Plus?
It's on Disney.
Oh, my gosh. I know what I'm doing after this.
How many were there? Four or five of them?
Yeah.
There's a girl that discovers them. Awesome. Anyway, let's do MVP and LVP.
That was the best episode I think we've had so far in Johto. Hands down, Gligar Man.
It was entertaining. And it wasn't about a stupid grass Pokemon.
Chikorita did not show up, thank God.
Anyway, randomizer here. Austin, you're first, followed by me and then Alex.
My MVP will be Gligirl. She was cool.
Cool name.
My LVP will be no one because everyone's amazing. No, I'll give it to Brock.
Oh.
He goes too far. And also, he's an idiot. He doesn't recognize who Gligirl is.
Oh, yeah. He's the only one at the end who can't tell.
And I got a Brock quote, but it's a different one. Ash says about LaToya, it seems like she's hiding something.
Dang.
Brock says, she is. She's hiding feelings of love for her Brocky poo. And Ash screams at Brock, the only feeling she's hiding is the feeling that you're a complete nutcase. Which I appreciate when Ash snaps at Brock because he deserves it.
Well, he deserves that a lot, especially the past two episodes. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to give my LVP, I'll just give it to one, but I'll give it to James for the Metapod suit. That sucked. That'd be hot. You're wearing your leather Team Rocket suit underneath it.
Leather Team Rocket suit?
Yeah, that's made out of leather.
Okay.
I think we've been told it's been made out of leather. Jessie says so.
Maybe her, like, boots or something, but, like,
I'm going to give my MVP to Gligar Man's bulge. I'll give it to that.
I think. Oh, my God. Saved the day. Oh, my God.
Well, think about it. They would have been screwed if it wasn't for it, because LaToya wouldn't have been born.
Superhero with a super bulge. All right.
Yeah, then Gligar wouldn't have been there to save the day at the end. Team Rocket would have won. So
I guess it all goes back to the bulge.
The bulge is the MVP.
Welcome back, Austin.
Hey, Austin.
Okay, hey. Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah.
That was my MVP because it saved the day with Gligirl being there at the end. It wouldn't have happened if it weren't for the bulge.
My God. Mm-hmm.
My quote, I didn't have a quote. forgot a quote.
Let's see what we got.
Because I know there was a lot of Brock ones that are pretty bad. There's one about, like, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Gligar Man.
Oh, here's one. I got one, too.
How come the Gligar Man we saw in the woods didn't like the one we saw in the movie? Mr. Parker says, that movie was made several years ago. Ash says, how many? 20? Burn.
What about that other one, Austin? Let's see. You can read that one, too, Jacob. That one's not mine.
This is Ash saying this. You must have the best job in the whole world, Gligar Man, because you get to be a superhero, you're in a toy store, and you have a really cool Pokemon.
That is a pretty cool job, all right?
Especially the money he's making.
Yeah, really? He's got a mansion and a bat cave? Oh, I'm sorry, a Gligar cave? All right, was that it?
That's it. It's your turn. Take it away.
Wait, so you did Gligar... Okay, wait, what was your MVP and LVP?
My LVP was James, because he had to wear that James, stupid Metapod right. suit. MVP was not Gligar Man, but Gligar Man's bulge.
MVP, I'm surprised nobody gave it to Gligar. Come on, it's so cute.
It was cute.
I love Gligar.
It's not the best Gligar.
The best Gligar is Gliscor.
Gligar to come.
This is not our Gligar. Spoiler alert, we get a Gligar, which becomes the best Gligar.
Yeah, you can listen to our podcast coming out in the year 2038 and you'll get hear
That's
that.
That's right. Stay tuned. LVP, Team Rocket as a whole, for trying to drown Ash and friends for no reason whatsoever and not even try to steal Pikachu out of it. So
they were just chaotic today.
And quote. Okay, James says when Gligar Man shows up to announce himself, he's like, I'm the sworn enemy of all evildoers everywhere. And James says, you can't be a superhero. They're not real. And Meowth says, if they was real, I don't think they'd look quite as lumpy as you do.
Dang, everybody's going after him today.
Body shaming is not okay, Meowth. We love dad bods up in this podcast.
I guess that's it. Does anyone have any more thoughts for this episode? A super episode about a superhero.
And a super dad.
Oh, we're going to have fun coming up with titles.
This will be great. I love this episode. I think it's the best we got so far. I was really tickled. I thought it was just super cute.
Wow, high praise.
It was it not?
Yes.
Coming out of the Hop-Hop episode, anything would look good. Mm-hmm. But it was a benefit because it actually was a good episode. So
I remember this one pretty well from when I watched the series a while ago. It sticks in my brain. I really thought there was a sequel, though.
Gligar Man Returns.
Gligar Man Strikes Back. What about you, Austin? Good, bad?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I figured you know, like, the most about superheroes. but I guess that is in the past now. So, Austin, what is on the menu?
We got Mild and Woolly and Wired for Battle.
So, a Mareep episode and...
Scizor.
Oh, I'm excited for Scizor. Okay.
All right, we got that to look forward to next week. And as always, we'd like to say thank you all for listening. And be sure to leave us a 5-star rating. If you have any questions or comments for the show, be sure to send them to outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, that is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter @outofdryingpan. Again, our handle is outofdryingpan. And join us next time as the journey continues.